The following is a message of First Baptist Richardson. For more information, please visit fbcr.org.
Good morning. So glad you guys are with us again this morning. What I want to do is I just want to open us up in prayer before we dive into God's Word. So y'all pray with me. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you even just for the technology that we're able to do this, even though we're all kind of scattered in different places. And so I just pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that your word would change us, and this would be more than just kind of a sermon or a service that we're watching, but it would be the life-changing word of God like it is. And so, God, would you come and would you meet with us? And I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. So we've been in this series talking about this good shepherd in Jesus and how he has shepherds us in different ways. And so what I want to do with you guys this morning is kind of talk about the way that Jesus empowers us, that he is the shepherd who empowers us to change the world. And so I don't know about you, but I think most of us, if we're honest, we don't have a problem with the power of God. We have a problem with the power of God in us. So here's what I mean. If you read the scriptures, right, like they're full of just God doing these powerful, amazing things. You start in Genesis, and right out of the gate, he opens his mouth and he speaks, and by the power of his word, the world is created. And so you go story after story, you get to Moses, and God shows up in a burning bush, and then God begins to use people like Moses, and then you get to Elijah, and he starts performing these miracles through people. Then fast forward, you get to the New Testament, you have the apostles, and you have Jesus sending out his apostles and performing these powerful acts through them. So my contention is that we look at a story like that or kind of all these little stories, and we don't really have much of a problem of God moving and operating in power. But then we get to a verse like Acts 1:8, which we'll read in a second, that talks about how God gives us power, and all of a sudden, we start to question, well, I know God moves in power, and I know God moved in power through these people. I just don't think he's going to move in power through me. So what I want to do with you this morning is I want to walk us through some scriptures to show you that Jesus, as our good shepherd, he has empowered us to be a witness in the world. And that means he can move in power through us. So we know he moves in power through other people. We just doubt whether or not he'll do it in us. So I want to show you that. So I want you to find your Bibles, scroll on your phone, use whatever you have. I want you to look at Acts chapter 1. We're going to start with a really well-known verse that you probably heard. So Acts chapter 1, we're going to just read verse 8. You've heard this before, but this is what it says. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So I want you to see that it says that you will receive power when what happens? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so it takes these two ideas, and they're inseparable. You can't have the Holy Spirit without the power, and you can't have power without the Holy Spirit. So the first thing I want you and I to just, I guess, be sober-minded about is if we truly say we believe in Jesus Christ, and he has given us his Holy Spirit, then according to this verse, he has also endowed us with power. Like we can't say that, no, that power was only reserved for certain people at certain times. It says, no, that the power comes when the Holy Spirit comes. So my first question to you would be, have you received the Holy Spirit? And if so, then you have been given power. And specifically in this context, power to be a witness. So here's what I want to do for the rest of our time together is I want to show you 7 examples of God moving in power through just ordinary people. And the reason why I want to do that is because I think you're a lot like me. It's easy for me to think that God's going to move in power through someone like Moses, someone like Elijah, someone like the disciples that walked with Jesus. It's hard for me to believe he's going to move in power through me. Like I'm just an ordinary, regular person. And so I don't feel like there's anything good or special about me. Sometimes I don't even feel worthy for him to operate in power. But his word says he does. And so I want to show you 7 examples of God using normal people. So flip over. I want you to go to Acts chapter 6. And we're going to start reading in verse 5. It says this, "And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit,
and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So what's happening? So real quick, long story short, there were these widows that were being forgotten. They weren't getting the food that they were supposed to get. And so the 12 disciples of Jesus come together and they say, hey man, we need people full of the Holy Spirit to go and help these widows. And so they choose the people we just listed. And so I want you to notice that it says they chose one of the people who was named Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. Now, skip down a couple verses to verse 8 and watch what Stephen does. So Stephen, he's not an apostle, he's just a normal dude filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. And so, man, here's a normal dude, Stephen, he's not an apostle, he didn't walk with Jesus, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit the same way you and I were. And it says that God moved in power in signs and wonders through Stephen. And if you continue to read the story, then he's going to actually open up his mouth and begin to witness about Jesus and become the first martyr that we know of for the Christian faith. He's a normal dude, and he was being used by God to perform signs and wonders. So let's keep going. I want you to flip over a couple chapters and look at chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 1 because this context is really important. It says, and Saul approved of his execution, talking about Stephen. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. So Stephen, he gets martyred, he gets stoned, so the church begins to be persecuted, and so it says that everyone in the church begins to scatter across all these different regions except the apostles. So what that means is that these 12 people who walked with Jesus, right, the 11 plus the one they added, these 12 people who walked and knew Jesus, they stayed in Jerusalem, okay? So then watch what happens. Look at verse 4. Now those who were scattered, so not the apostles, went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. So I think what happens is sometimes you and I, we read this wrong. We read the word Philip, and Philip was one of the 12 that walked with Jesus, and so we assume that's who this is talking about. The reason why I read you the context is because it said all these people were scattered except the apostles. Philip, the one that they're talking about, is the one we just read about in chapter 6, who was chosen to be one of these people who helped the widows. So Philip is not the same Philip that was an apostle. He's different. Does that make sense? Are you tracking with that logic? So what does Philip do? Look at verse 4 again. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him, they saw the signs that he did. So watch what he does. It says, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. So watch this. This dude who was not an apostle, who didn't walk with Jesus the way the 12 walked with Jesus, he's indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and it says he cast out many demons, not just one, not just a couple, he cast out many. And then it says there were many people who were paralyzed and lame, and he healed them. How did he do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit working in him. Did he do it because he was one of the 12? No. Did he do it because he's Moses or Elijah? No. He's a normal dude, just like Stephen, who God moved in power. So let's keep going. I feel like you're not convinced. Look at chapter 9. You know this story. Chapter 9 is about Saul, who begins to, he's the one who's persecuting the church. And so Jesus shows up, actual Jesus, his voice. Paul sees him in a vision. But I want you to see this. Look at verse 10 of chapter 9. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. So once again, when it says that he is a disciple, he's not talking about one of the 12. It's just saying he's a follower of Jesus, right? He didn't necessarily walk with Jesus there when Jesus was on earth, but he is a follower. He is a converted believer in Jesus, a normal disciple like me and you. And so God's going to speak to him in this vision, but I want you to see what Ananias does. Look at verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, the one that Paul was in, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may again regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. So watch this. How did Paul, who we know as Saul, how did he get converted? He got converted because Jesus showed up, and in that, Jesus blinded his eyes, and Jesus sends a regular disciple named Ananias to go lay his hands on him, pray for him, and as he does that, it says that scales fall from Saul's eyes, and he is able to now see, and the Holy Spirit fills him. So Jesus didn't do this all by himself. Jesus used a normal disciple named Ananias to move in power. So why are we doing this? Our good shepherd has empowered us to move in power, to be witnesses for his name and his glory. And I think you and I are okay with the idea of power. We're just not okay with the idea of God using us to manifest that power. And so I've already given you a few examples, but I want to show you that this power is not regulated for special hierarchy type of people. It's for anyone and everyone that God fills with his Spirit. So let's keep going. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10. You know this story. So this is the story where Peter, the actual disciple of Jesus, he gets this vision to go to this man named Cornelius' house. Cornelius is what they call a Gentile. He's a normal dude. It says he invites his family, his friends, to hear Peter preach the gospel to them. So the context is a Gentile, a non-Jewish man, his family, his relatives, sitting in a house listening to the disciple of Peter preach the gospel. So I want you to notice what happens when they hear the gospel. In Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. So in other words, what just happened is Peter preached the gospel, and these Gentiles, these non-Jewish people, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and one of the first things they do is they begin to speak in other languages, and they begin to extol God, meaning they got kind of like what happened when the original 12 got baptized with the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in tongues and then prophesy, proclaim the works of God. That's exactly what these Gentiles just did. So these are non-apostles. There's nothing special about them. They receive the Holy Spirit and they immediately begin to operate in power. Normal people, God operating in power through. Chapter 11, look at verse 27. Once again, I'm wanting you to see that Jesus has empowered anyone and everyone. As long as they have the Holy Spirit, he operates in power. Look at Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 27. It says, "Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." So what just happened? Here's this dude. We don't really know anything about him. It says that this dude, Agabus, man, he's known to be a prophet, right? Filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says that he foretold, meaning he has received word from the Holy Spirit that there will be a famine that's coming. And so he prophesies this. He tells the church this so that they can gather funds and send it to people in need. But here's the part I want you to see. What's so special about Agabus, right? Nothing. Yeah, it calls him a prophet. And so I think we see that word and think, oh, he must be extra special. He's just a normal dude. Filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesying, moving in power. Keep going. Chapter 13. Are you bored yet? Right? Are you getting the point? that Jesus has empowered his people by the Holy Spirit to move in power. I want you to see this is not just for a couple of people. This is for anyone and everyone. Acts chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger." I always want to point this out. That just means that he was black. It's literally what it says if you read the footnote, right? So it's just a black dude. "Lucius of Cyrene, a Menean, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." So watch this. It names five people, two of which is Saul and Barnabas, but it says that the Holy Spirit speaks to these people. We don't know exactly who. Which one did he talk to? We don't know, but it definitely wasn't Saul, and it definitely wasn't Barnabas, because they're the ones who received the word, right? So he speaks to these non-apostles, and he says, "Hey, I want you to send out Saul and Barnabas to go on this mission journey," right? And so they wouldn't have left if God didn't show up in power to these just normal people in the church. And that's how Saul goes out on these missionary journeys, because the Holy Spirit moved in power in people who were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God to Saul. And so he goes out on missions. Okay, we'll do one more. For the sake of time, I want you to move to Acts chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples." We don't know anything about them. It just calls them some disciples. "And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' They said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, 'John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus.' On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all." So once again, what happens? This is really early within the church. The gospel is exploding. So Paul and his people, they come upon disciples of Jesus who haven't even been told about the Holy Spirit yet. All they know is the gospel of Jesus. All they know is the baptism of John. And so Paul begins to explain to them the baptism that's birthed into Jesus. And so they get baptized into Jesus. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. And what this just said is these 12 ordinary men, as soon as they're baptized in the name of the Lord, it says the Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. That God moved in them with great power. So why do I do that? I think you and I don't have a problem with God moving in power. Like I think if we're being honest, like we love that he moves in power. We want to see him move in power. I think our doubts and our fears and our questions and our anxieties come in when we think, is God going to move in power through me? And then some of us have just been told wrong, right? Like some of us have just flat out been told this lie that says God only moves in power through extraordinary people, that God only moves in power through the apostles. But I just gave you 7 examples in the book of Acts of normal people filled with the Holy Spirit that God moved in great power. And if we had time, man, we could go through the rest of the New Testament. So what's my point? I want you to flip back where we started to Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. I'll point out a couple more things, and then I'm going to challenge us. Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That our good shepherd Jesus, he has a mission that he has sent all of his people on. And it is ultimately to go and tell the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And he has equipped us to do that by giving us the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you have been indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you have received power. So I want to point this out to you. Notice that it says that you and I, we receive power. We don't achieve power, right? I think part of why you and I don't operate in power is because we're trying to achieve some special status. We kind of think, if we're being real in our hearts, we kind of think, well, man, if I walked more holy or I knew more Bible, then I would operate in power. But once you do that, once you qualify how that power works in your life, you have just made it something that you and I have to achieve, not something we receive. And so he doesn't qualify. He doesn't say, hey, man, you'll operate in power if and when you know enough Bible, if and when you become enough holy of a person. He says, no, you will receive power regardless of who you are when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so here's my question. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you been indwelt by his Holy Spirit? And if you have, you have been given power. And that power, specifically in this context, is for us to be witnesses to the world of the glory and gospel of Jesus Christ. So then why are you and I not operating in that power? I think there's lots of reasons, but today all I wanted to accomplish with you is the one reason you cannot give for not operating in power is that Jesus has reserved it for special people. He hasn't. It's for you and for me and all those who believe. And so what if you and I believed that we had that power? And we went out by the grace of Jesus Christ, ready to proclaim him, ready to pray and lay hands on and to speak boldly the message of Jesus. And we prayed for miracles and we asked for miracles and we asked for boldness just like the disciples did in the book of Acts. What if we actually believed that God would move in us the same way he moved in these normal, everyday people? In the book of Acts, what would happen? My guess is you and I would see a lot of people come to know him. So I want to pray, and I know that you have a ton of questions, right? Like, man, what does that power look like, and how do I do this, and this, that, and the other? I get it. I want to point you back to Jesus. He is your good shepherd who will guide you and lead you. But what you cannot say is he has not equipped you with power, because he has. So all those questions, all those fears, all those anxieties, take them to the good shepherd. Let him answer those questions. But I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge myself, to believe what God has said in his word and to begin to move into the world to tell people and proclaim the good news with power. Let me pray. Father, we love you. Help us to trust your word more than opinions, more than our fears, more than our anxieties. Father, help us to have a greater fear and awe of you than a fear of ourself. Help us to be okay with looking weird or being strange as we try to operate in submission to your word, which is people indwelt by the Holy Spirit, filled with power to bring the good news of Jesus. God, would you do a great work in us, I pray. We love you, and we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Be blessed.